What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And boy, do we have a lot to get into today, Joe Rex Road. Lots to talk about today here on the program. How we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. Yeah. What an interesting evening in sports.
It was.
Monday was.
A very interesting evening in sports. Michelle Knezovic, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing good today. Went to bed at about 8:30 last night.
That's how it's done.
Feeling great. Feeling great this morning.
I did the same thing.
I'm jealous. I stayed up for the entire freaking game. It was so good. It was a contrast last night.
Yeah.
It was. Honestly, I saw absolute greatness last night. I want to see Lamar Jackson's performance put into perspective, you know, put into context. I think it's one of the great performances I've seen. Also, the Colts utterly just maybe blew their season right there. So
yeah.
Good for the Titans. Meanwhile, during the game, of course, John Gruden resigns as head coach of the Raiders, and this will be the story in sports today. And
it will be.
Probably for a while. It just, man. Just out of nowhere.
What a night. Yeah, we'll get to the Gruden stuff here in just a couple of minutes. Ravens win 31-25 last night. Lamar Jackson, 37 of 43, 442 yards through the air and four touchdowns, 14 carries, 62 yards on the ground as well. So over 500 yards of offense from Lamar Jackson last night, and they get it done in overtime. Against the Colts, outscoring the Colts in the last two quarters, which means the fourth quarter in overtime, 22-3.
Yeah,
outscoring the Colts.
No, that was domination. I mean, the Colts were dominating them. I don't think the Ravens are that good. Like as I watch them, you know, fare them out this season. They're 4-1. I don't think they're a 4-1 team, but they have that guy who, you know, it's funny with Lamar Jackson. Yeah, so 37-43, 442-4. And I think he's the first quarterback ever to like have 400 yards passing, no picks, and like 50 plus yards rushing in a game in NFL history.
Yeah,
he is carrying them. Like, there's been all this talk about his contract and stuff, and you know, like, is Lamar Jackson like worth Mahomes' money? Yeah, he's gotten so much better at when needed and when the defense forces it, hanging in the pocket and making tough throws into tight windows. He did it over and over again last night, along with all the other stuff he does. It was amazing.
It was amazing. And now, speaking of amazing, let's read the AFC South standings. Tennessee Titans at 3-2. The Houston Texans at 1-4. The Colts at 1-4. And the Jags at 0-5, baby. Titans sitting pretty in the AFC South.
So you can be really not that good, which is what the Titans have been.
Yeah.
And be running away with the division. Look, the Colts last night, we'll see if they, you know, long season, and I'm not, in all seriousness, I don't think that they're just going to, you know, throw in the towel, but that's a killer. Because Carson Wentz now is moving around. He looked pretty good last night. He was furious. They were driving to just put the game away, so they're up 8. And Frank Reich went super conservative.
Yep.
And said, put it in Rodrigo's hands. You know, they're going for a field goal. I forget the exact distance, but it's a, you know, mid-range field goal. He just kind of ran the ball. Wentz is like, I mean, you could see him come off the field. Like, he wanted to just go score a touchdown. Just, let's end this thing. But it would have ended if Blankenship makes that field goal. And say Calais Campbell, incredible play to bust through and block the field goal. And then Lamar Jackson takes over the game from there. But I mean, they're starting to look like a good team. They're starting to look like a dangerous team with Wentz running around, and their D looked good most of the night. You can't deal with that guy when he gets going like that. I'm not convinced it's completely over, but boy, that's a big result in the race.
It's a big result in the race, and now I guess the schedule starts to lighten up a little bit for the Colts. You do have the Texans coming up on Sunday, and then the Niners. And the Niners, we'll see if Jimmy G is back or if Trey Lance is still the QB then. And then the Titans, the Jets, the Jags, and the Bills upcoming for the Colts. So a little bit of a lighter schedule. Outside of, obviously, the Titans
and
the
Jets. Watch out for those Jets.
Definitely watch out for those Jets.
They'll get you, man. They'll get you.
That is true. So let's get into the John Gruden stuff, because as you mentioned, last night, as the Monday Night Football game is coming on and as it continues to go through, that is becoming the biggest story in sports. And this began over the weekend, as it came out over the weekend, I guess from an investigation they're doing on the Washington football team. And they've looked at emails, and in the emails, John Gruden was, I guess, I don't even know the right way to describe it. It was just awful comments he had on Demoris Smith that were racially incendiary comments in emails, and that was the big story over the weekend for Gruden, and his players were asked about it after the game, and, you know, Josh Jacobs talked about it, Derek Carr, among others, saying, you know, yeah, those emails are bad, and you know he's not displayed any behavior like that here. And I wondered, okay, is this going to be something that continues to stick with Gruden? Is this going to be something that he's going to be able to overcome? Not to mention, the Raiders were awful on Sunday against the Bears, and I wondered how much this kind of played into that in terms of a distraction. You never really know how much that affects the product on the field, but man, were they bad on Sunday against the Bears. And then the New York Times last night comes out with a report that it wasn't just the racist comments that he had. There were some homophobic comments and misogynistic remarks with emails, really, including Roger Goodell, which said words that we cannot repeat here on this radio station. Just lots of incendiary, truly awful stuff from John Gruden coming out in emails. And here we are. Mark Davis goes and meets with him yesterday. John Gruden resigns, and he is no longer the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Rexford, I think we'll start with just your reaction to this entire thing and the way it unfolded last night as Monday Night Football is going on.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to go with this. You know, it's, yeah, so he called Goodell the gay slur that starts with an F.
Yep.
And you know, there's a lot of stuff in there, including, like, women being officials.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's just on and on and on. It was just like the ramblings of an old bigot. I mean, it's really what it was. And I know it was a long time ago, and this is a weird situation. I mean, this is an investigation of Washington. This is just emails when he was with ESPN with Bruce Allen.
Yep.
I guess his buddy. I don't know. I mean, he employed, you know, his brother, of course, as a Washington coach, just ranting about stuff, personal emails. But, I mean, look, you can't continue in that job with this stuff. I mean, do I think that this is some, you know, some isolated mindset in the NFL? No. In society? No, not really. But you can't continue, you know, in that job after this stuff comes out. I mean, that's, you know, that's clear and obvious. I mean, another thing here is the history of the Raiders. It's actually really interesting, and I don't know how many people know this. So Marcus Thompson, who's probably our best writer at The Athletic, I would say, he wrote a column. Of course, he's out in the Bay Area, and I'm gonna go through a little bit of this. You know, Al Davis. For people who don't know, I mean, Al Davis is known as like the tough guy. You know, the Raiders and commitment to excellence, and he's just
win, baby.
Yeah, exactly. You know. I mean, Al Davis was absolutely a trailblazer in the NFL. He wouldn't play in Mobile, Alabama in 63 because of state segregation laws. Art Shell, first black coach in the NFL. Amy Trask, first female executive in the NFL. Tom Flores, second Latino head coach in the NFL. And then Carl Nassib, by the way, is the first openly gay player in the NFL. And it's interesting because it really hasn't been talked about this.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's. I think we've made strides, right? Like, it was a big story when he announced it. It's very important, you know, that someone like that. I think the Michael Sam thing, a lot of people weren't ready for that. And frankly, Michael Sam was a fringe player. I mean, and by the way, Gruden ranted about that and about Jeff Fisher.
That was in the email.
So he's playing for the Raiders now. I mean, that's their tradition is like inclusion, diversity, and actually being ahead of the game and blazing a trail. and that's Al Davis. And so now you have this. I mean, yeah, not that it would be any other franchise would be different, but it's such a contrast with this crap. And so, like, if you're Carl Nassib, who's been really good this year, like, how do you keep playing for this guy?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and not to mention, again, the Demoris Smith stuff. I mean, it's a racist trope about his lips. I mean, it's like you're telling me that John Gruden can lead a locker room, a diverse locker room after that? I think it was already going to be real rough for him, and then boom, it's over.
And it was interesting because over the weekend, you know, there had not been really anything from the player side of things that had come out publicly that were just really heavily against John Gruden. I mean, Josh Jacobs talked about it and said, you know, I can base it on what I've seen from him. I've not seen any of that behavior from him. It was essentially what Josh Jacobs said. So it wasn't like the players over the weekend were coming out and saying things publicly. Now, that doesn't mean that players in that locker room were all on board with John Gruden, and especially when this comes out last night, pretty difficult to see how he was going to end up continuing to be the head coach of the Raiders. And John Gruden released a statement last night, says, quote, "I have resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staffs, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone," end quote, on the release statement from John Gruden there. And that last part, the "I'm sorry, I never meant to hurt anyone," people are running off with that one today. We heard Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max talking about it before we got on the air, and it's a bad spot for John Gruden to be in right now. And again, these emails came out in 2011. I believe he was with ESPN at the time when the emails were sent, and this started as an investigation into the Washington football team, and it's kind of diverted into John Gruden now.
Well, and then that's another whole – it's very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time that this investigation has been going on with nothing.
Yeah.
And, well, I shouldn't say with nothing. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of stuff about the organization and Dan Snyder, and you talk about a bad culture.
Yeah.
And just, you know, a lot of rough stuff that I think will probably come out. But in the meantime, it's just this part of it just, you know, comes out becomes a big thing. It's peculiar, and I'm very interested to see where it goes from there. I mean, it almost reads to me like the NFL's like, well, let's get rid of this guy, you know. So I don't know. That's a weird aspect of this story. But, yeah, now John Gruden, I don't know. I mean, I can see – in fact, Caroline Fenton already tweeted out the message board at LSU, hire John Gruden right now. You know, I mean, I don't think it took the – you know, any sort of football coach people think can win for them. I mean, we know Vols fans have coveted Gruden for a long time. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be some kind of interest. But, I don't know how he can keep I don't know how he can have a public job now.
It's going to be difficult. We'll continue the discussion on John Gruden when we come back. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texting in, Urban Meyer the big winner in the Gruden situation. The spotlight off him for a bit. I would say definitely so. Nobody's talking about Urban Meyer anymore.
Yeah, this is true. Take for a little bit. Then he's back in London this weekend, and you know, we can see how that goes. But the focus is on Chucky now.
So if you missed it last night, John Gruden resigning as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders after multiple different emails with Bruce Allen coming out from his time at ESPN and a bunch of different just awful remarks from John Gruden in those emails. He is no longer the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. And I guess my question is, like, is there some sort of settlement that he's going to reach? Like, he signed the 10-year contract which was just amazing when they signed him to that contract. And I think he had like $66 million left on the deal. So I'm interested. Like, he went away and obviously resigned last night. My guess is, and I don't know this, I could be wrong, but my guess is he's probably not resigning if he's not getting some money out of this. So I'd be interested to know, and I wonder if this will come out, how much money he's getting paid to resign.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come out. And I'm sure it's probably – I'm sure there's something that he and Mark Davis worked out. I mean, Mark, you know, he was Mark Davis's white whale, just like he's you know, the Vols white whale before all this, which – you know, take it apart from the fact that he's a, you know, ranting bigot, but, you know, gosh, he's disappointing as a coach too, right? I mean, was it really worth all this? I mean, I think they were headed for about a 9-8 season,
yeah.
You know, but I would
fringe playoff team, yeah,
yeah. I mean, I would guess that, yeah, that there's got to be so. Okay, I'll resign. How about like $30 million of it? And there's going to be a lot of. There already was. I mean, even with before the New York Times thing came out yesterday, there was a lot of immediate jumping to, like, what he said wasn't racist, which, again, it's like, if you don't know that, please, please just shut up. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of that stuff today, too. But, you know, the bottom line is, it's how it affects the people he's talking about, you know? So if you're not in one of those groups, you know, you shouldn't comment on it.
Now, John Gruden, we'll see what happens with him. I mean, to your point, like, he's not getting another NFL job at this point. I guess college football maybe could be on the table, but I just don't see it. Like, I don't know. Like, how old is John Gruden?
He's in his 50s.
Okay, so age not that big of a factor, but no. I just don't see that. I don't see that he's getting a big-time college football job.
I mean, look, we still hear, like, about Art Briles.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if he – here's the thing, whether he does or not, like, this is actually an opportunity. Like, you know, if John Gruden wanted to be really open and honest about this, well, first of all, he could say, and he could be accurate and say, the thoughts that I express there are not that rare in the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, he could say that. Now, of course, no one wants to hear that out of his mouth. But what I'd like to hear is, look, I mean, I was wrong and I need to, like, actually, like, look inside myself and actually try to learn things and you know, learn to accept people in the world. And maybe if he earnestly goes about that, which I know would just be perceived as a PR campaign, which Art Briles has right. tried to do too. I mean, Art Briles has tried to do some media stuff and express remorse, even though he still struggled to actually express any remorse because he still thinks he did nothing wrong.
Correct.
Would that down the road, you know, open the door for him to get like a – like Coach Liberty or something. Like, I'm just immediately thinking of Liberty. You know, once Hugh Freeze takes the Vols job.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
I don't know. I wouldn't completely rule it out. But I mean, at this point, you know, I he should be nuclear for anyone thinking about hiring a coach.
Well, there was a lot of response on Vol Twitter last night. Maybe the Vols dodging a bullet with John Gruden. Certainly, can you imagine if he's the Vols coach right now and this came out?
And what gracious. Would happen? I mean, he'd have to resign.
Yeah.
My goodness! Imagine this show today.
Oh God!
If that,
I don't know that I can't imagine this show today. If
of course,
that
he'd be 3-time defending national champions. Well, everybody would, you know, would be able to handle it better.
Maybe so. I guess when would he have taken the Vols job? Would that have been before Butch or before Pruitt? Which one? Because there was a campaign for him for both.
Well, when was he ever a candidate?
He was never really a candidate, I don't think. But there was a big push for him twice.
Well, yeah, the Calhoun's thing.
Yeah.
So
I think that was 17, right?
Yeah. So at some point this week, we'll have to get either Ubben or Auer back on the line about their story, which I learned a ton of from, which I didn't think there was anything else to learn about that search. But some of it was sort of the misdirection of Gruden. So he never really was. I mean, people reached out to him, right?
I'm sure they
people
did.
Reached out to him, but yeah, that was never a thing. So there you go. It sometimes it works out better for you.
Now, I guess now, if you're a player in the Raiders locker room, what's today like for you? Obviously, they promoted their special teams coach to now be the interim head coach, and my guess is he'll just be the interim head coach the rest of the year, and then they'll go find another coach at some point. But you know, you're 3-2. You've lost two games in a row. You played awful on Sunday against the Chicago Bears, and now your coach is gone. And I just today ought to be an interesting day walking into work if you're a Las Vegas Raiders player, because I mean you're still right in the thick of things, and now John Gruden's out.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's none of their fault. I mean, you know, it's the fault of none of them, and you know, like a guy like Derek Carr, who's worked hard to obviously it partnered with Gruden and trying to turn everything around, and now it's, man, I don't know. I mean, I guess you know they're not a terrible team. Maybe they can rally together and play well, but boy, that's just a huge disruption, obviously, and now they have to start over. I mean, I'm interested, obviously, to hear from Carl Nassib too.
Yep.
On this and the bigger picture as well of, like, you know, where is the NFL on things like this? I know these emails were a long time ago, but you know, again, I don't think it's a very isolated viewpoint. But boy, it was a stream of ugliness from him.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in. No one in America should be able to stand behind or support anything he said. If he apologizes and changes, then he 100% deserves a second chance. God has given me 1,000 second chances that I did not deserve. This is coming from Chris on the text line.
Well, again, like, that's fine, but like his job dictates that, like, you can't do that job anymore when these views have been made public. I mean, John Gruden's going to walk away, and he has millions and millions of dollars. I don't think you have to cry for John Gruden here. Remember, he's the one who did this, and I understand that it's in an email to another guy, and it's just a bizarre situation. It's a stroke of bad luck for him, no doubt about it, that this stuff becomes public. But you can't, like, how could someone be a face of an organization that not only claims but actually does promote diversity and have diversity and always has? He's going to be the face of that organization. Now, I understand, I think Chris is saying, like, a second chance somewhere else. And again, I'm not ruling that out, and I'm not even saying zero. I would never want to see it, but I do want to see actual, earnest, real discussion from Gruden about why, you know, he hasn't figured out at this point in his life, or even 10 years ago in his life, which is still totally inexcusable, to accept other people and their differences, to accept women in the NFL. I mean, you know, it's pretty ridiculous. I don't care if it was 20 years ago.
Yep, and now John Gruden, we'll see what is the next stop for him in this situation. But my guess is we're not going to hear from John Gruden for a long time. My guess is we won't hear from him very soon. And, you know, it kind of sucks, because I would like to hear from him and see what he has to say on this situation. But I can imagine where the people close to him say, hey, I don't know if it matters all that much what you say right now. It's not going to go over all that well. So I don't imagine we'll hear from him for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a little while. But again, I mean, I hope we do hear from him at some point, because, like, he is the one who's getting vilified. He's the one who's paying the price here right now. He does not represent. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, I grew up in sports. Homophobia was absolutely part of the language growing up. I mean, there's no question about it. Totally different as a kid for me than racism, which was clearly bad. Homophobia was pop culture. I mean, so he doesn't, you know, you have to get over that and grow up and grow as a person, which he clearly at least didn't do, you know, 10 years ago. But he could be a part of something positive out of this too.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Great chemistry between you and Glenn yesterday at the, like, press conference.
Like, if I was listening to that, that was bizarre. it was funny if you saw it. Glennon. I mean, Glennon asks like 97 questions every presser. He can't, you know, I usually try to pipe down and just pick my spots, you know, not mess up the beat writers. And yeah,
Glennon very inquisitive at the press conferences.
We both wanted to ask about Harold Landry, so.
Apparently so.
Rabe wanted to know how long we knew each other.
Also both elbowing each other during this.
Yeah, yeah. Jostling.
So. What a moment yesterday.
We'll have Glennon
press
on later.
We will.
To yell at him.
Yeah, you can hear more of that at 8 o'clock. John Glennon coming on. Joe Rexroad and John Glennon. Vrabel had some fun with that one yesterday. Was that the highlight of the Vrabel press conference? Probably so.
I don't know. What do you think, Michelle?
Yeah, that definitely was that was a highlight.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was. It was really weird. And then everybody just couldn't contain. They were just laughing. And then Joe goes, well, the better question after that.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, my question was a little bit better than John's. It wasn't great. But, yeah, the point, the question was to me, okay, fine, he has more sacks, right? Harold Landry has more sacks.
Sure.
But apart from that, because we always talk about it, like Vrabel always talks about it, what really matters? It's not just sacks. It's getting the quarterback off his spot. It's affecting the quarterback. So apart from the sacks, which obviously he's being rewarded with that now, is he a better player? He didn't really answer my question. But, you know, I mean, he answered it, but, and this is where, you know, Vrabel doesn't want to get into like, hey, let's throw some bouquets at this guy or that guy, or let's criticize this guy or that. He doesn't want to do that either. With a lot of questions about Rashawn Evans yesterday. And, you know, Vrabel said it's got to get better, but he always tries to bring it to, we all have to get better. Someone missed the gap. Someone missed the gap on the James Robinson, 68 or 58 yard?
58.
Run. Both of those plays were 58?
Both those eight plays 58, yeah.
Someone missed a gap. He's not going to say Rashawn Evans. I mean, you can watch it, the play over again, and it's clear that it was Rashawn Evans. But he's not going to, you know, he's not going to call out a player. He's also careful to say, yeah, this guy's amazing, which I, you know, I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I get it as well. But it is interesting because Rashawn Evans, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. He was not good in that game against Jacksonville. And I guess the question now is, what do you do moving forward with him? I mean, he's at the moment, he's got to play. Jayon Brown's not out there and is not available for you. And unfortunately, that just kind of continues to be the story of Jayon Brown with the Titans. He's a good player when he's on the field. He's had a tough time lately getting on the field and staying on the field for the Titans. So, you know, I think you feel pretty good about David Long at this point. But Rashawn Evans is going to have to play as they continue to move forward here. But he's got to get better. I mean, the way he played Sunday, that's just not acceptable. And it's going to be really difficult to make winning plays at that position if that's going to be what Rashawn Evans is.
Yeah, just there's someone, and I think it might have been Mike Herndon, tweeted out a coverage play where he, you know, apparently just kind of didn't know where he was supposed to be in the zone, and he sort of went one way, and then he like did a total pirouette in the middle of the field. Meanwhile, where he was supposed to be, a completion was made, you know, and he's late to get there. I mean, look, you can find players making mistakes. You can find, great plays. Rashawn Evans will make big plays. I know a lot. I will say on his behalf, there's a lot made of him like diving over at the goal line. He jumped up and dived. But, I mean, that does happen sometimes. Guys guess. You know, it didn't sound like it. That was like he necessarily played it wrong. Now, granted,
you know, Troy Polamalu did that a few times, and he timed it up well a lot, but he also missed a few times.
Right. Sometimes they went somewhere else, and then he's just – so if you're at the inch line, sometimes things like that happen. But, yeah, like it basic run fits – that let a guy get out for 60 yards, that's a problem. And it just seems like it's a continuation for him from last season, which I would say then is that coaching. Because I saw Rashawn Evans, I thought, grow as a player in 2019 in Dean Pean's last year as D coordinator. And this is a continuation this year of kind of – just sort of, you know, he's just sort of missing. Now, I do think a lot of it is just some people have great instincts, some people don't. He's a great athlete. You know, Jayon Brown isn't a great athlete. He has great instincts. I mean, David Long, I think we're seeing now. David Long's a good athlete who also has good instincts.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think some of it is just like your own limitations, but I think it's fair to wonder if like the defensive coaching change has really hurt him.
Yeah, I think it's fair, too. And to my point, I mean, you're going to have to play him right now. But if and when Jayon Brown comes back, as Brian in Portland on the text line points out, it's going to be pretty hard to keep David Long and Jayon Brown at the same time off the field. And some of that's going to be matchup driven. But I don't think it's a stretch at this point to say your best linebacker combo, Jayon Brown, David Long Jr.
Well, yeah, but the problem is now Jayon Brown's on IR. I mean, I agree and asked Shane Bowen about that. I guess it was 2 weeks ago? Yeah, going into the Jets game. Yep. About what about that combination?
He liked it.
Yeah. And I do agree that at some point you could see that. Now, you know, it also depends on opponent. I mean, look, Rashawn Evans has the physicality and size that you do want one of your inside linebackers still to have that in this league. It's yep. still, like, teams still do try to run the ball a fair amount. It's not a running league. Most people aren't the Titans, but you need that too. I mean, at times if you had those two, Brown and Long, that could be a disadvantage. But for the most part, I agree. I mean, they both you got good versatility. Long's worked really hard on coverage stuff, and they both make plays.
They do. And having said all that, now would be a pretty good time to have David Long and Jayon Brown with the matchups you've got coming up the next 4 weeks. A lot of throwing the ball going on out there. A lot of coverage that's going to be necessary.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, because the Bills, you know, the Bills, they don't really try to run.
Josh Allen runs.
He's their best running back. Obviously, the Chiefs, we know what they do. Now, the Rams try to muscle you as well. I mean, they've got a really nice balance. And we know the Colts. I mean, that game is, you know, the Colts game is a Rashawn Evans game.
Yep.
But you're right. The next
they've not covered Nyheim Hines yet, so
right.
What would be different?
Yeah, that's right. And even like with Jayon, who knew exactly what he was supposed to do and was right there, but still, I mean, that kid is – I still think he's underutilized. Meanwhile, Marlon Mack wants a trade, and he looked good last night too, by the way.
Absolutely. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ethan from Lawrenceburg texting in. Will Compton, anybody? Question mark.
I mean, they have Will Compton-like guys. Do they have Jan Johnson right now? I mean, they have Nick DeZubnar, who obviously they like a little bit better than Will Compton. So I don't think like Will Compton comes in and all of a sudden he's over Nick DeZubnar, or else he'd be on the team and Nick DeZubnar wouldn't be on the team, right? I mean, I understand.
Like, he's in town. You need to give him a call.
Right. Will Compton. I mean, I thought Will Compton, when he was forced into action, did pretty well. But that's also a name that comes up because of his other stuff, right?
Yeah. That darn podcasting.
Yeah, that's right.
People are all over Taylor Lewan about.
That has ruined Taylor Lewan's career.
He posted like a screenshot on Twitter of like a flight to Jacksonville the other day, Will Compton. He was like, I'm coming, guys.
Oh, really?
Seeing like section 112 over there. Asking why Rex Rhodes going around interviewing people before the game.
Trying to find the little kid.
Yeah, yes. I did not see Will. He probably would have had something funny to say to Urban.
Yeah, well, he probably would have.
Probably still hurting from the Nebraska completely botching an upset win over Michigan.
Speaking of Urban, did you see like the total deflection of blaming the offensive coordinator and blaming...
I was there.
Yeah, and then yesterday... Talking to, you know, I want to have a balanced offense approach. Yeah. Thinking 250, 250. So 250 passing, 250 rushing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. You put up 500 yards of offense every game, sure.
Yeah. Well, if you get to play Rutgers more often, you're going to be in good shape.
Somebody had a stat that said Urban's solution is something that's happened 33 times in the 52-year history of the NFL. 250 and 250 in a game. Yeah. Good luck with that, Urban. See how that goes.
Well, yeah. I mean, so after the fourth and one, you know, of course he's like, well, I don't micromanage the – yeah, okay. So, in other words, it wasn't my fault. It was someone else. Yeah. And then, I mean, seriously, the thing that really got me was, you know, it may sound silly, but we don't rep – Trevor's not comfortable doing the quarterback sneak. Trevor Lawrence comes in like 2 minutes later like, oh, yeah, yeah, we do that. I'm good with that. We worked that.
Just a total disaster. We'll continue to talk about the Titans. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Support Stars this Saturday by running, walking, or boogieing in the Nashville Striders' 21st annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, or you can show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit StarsNashville.com. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Saturday as Nashville SC takes on DC United. Pre-game starts at 6:15 and the match begins at 6:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. What about that game last night? Are the Ravens overrated, or are the Colts going to be a scary team if Wentz can stay healthy?
You might be both on right counts. You might be right on both counts there, Tyler. The Ravens are, you know, they were really dominated last night. And then Lamar Jackson, like, put a team on his back and was outrageously good. And he has grown a lot. So that's the thing. I mean, the Ravens are 4-1. They haven't played very well. They've got deficiencies. He has taken another step. Anybody who watched that game last night, that's not the same Lamar Jackson. He's worked really hard on, you know, on being able to if he's contained in a pocket, being able to stand in there and hurt teams that way, and he's doing it now. I think the Colts are dangerous. The problem is they just blew that game, yep. And they're 1-4. I think Carson Wentz looked really good last night. Carson Wentz moving around is a threat. He's potentially a problem for people. They ran the ball extremely well. Their defense was great until it just got Lamar'd. I mean, yeah. You know, they do have some issues at corner, and you know, their receivers now, you know, Pittman, they're starting to come on a little bit. So I think they're dangerous. The question is, what does that do to them to botch that game? That game was theirs.
Well, and now, you know, we read off the standings earlier. The Titans at 3-2, the Texans, Colts at 1-4, and obviously the Jags at 0-5. I mean, the Titans are sitting in a really good spot in the AFC South. But how do the Titans get through this portion of their schedule? I mean, that's going to be the – and obviously the Colts game is a big one in there on Halloween. But the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, the Rams, and then right after the Rams, you've got the Saints. And who knows what Saints team is going to show up in that game. I mean – this is a big stretch, and we knew it when the schedule came out. This was going to be a stretch that largely defines the way this Titan season goes. You know, we talk about the Titans being in a really good spot. You go 1-4 in your next five games, all of a sudden you're not in that great of a spot anymore if you're the Titans. So this is a gigantic stretch coming up for this team, and they've got to take it to a different level than we've seen so far this year. Question is, can they?
Well, the interesting thing about this stretch is, and I know this is, you know, this is probably controversial, but the toughest and easiest game may be the first two games. Now, I'm saying that because now Tyreek Hill's hurt, so we'll see it with that. But the Chiefs right now are, like, they can certainly go up and down the field on Titans, but I think the same is true of the Titans.
Yeah.
But the toughest of the stretch is right away, you know. I mean, this is the team I think you'd have to put them number one in the NFL right now. Their defense, everything. They don't have any clear holes. So, I mean, if you're the Titans, I mean, obviously, first of all, that's all you focus on. If you get that win, that would be a big upset, one. But if you get thumped in that game, you know, then you have to try to recover against a struggling but still extremely lethal and still maybe the most talented offensive team in the league, Kansas City. But like you said, people, I mean, like the Saints, that's not a gimme. I mean, there's it gets a lot easier after this four game stretch, but yeah, you have, you know, you've got to try to find a way to get two of the next four and get out of there. If you do, I think you're feeling fine.
Yeah, if you end
easier
up,
said than done.
It's much easier said than done, and you got to get healthy. And you know, you're getting to the point now where, especially by the time the Colts game and the Rams game comes around, you need your offensive line to be completely healthy and to continue to take steps forward. I mean, look, let's be honest here. It's going to be difficult to block Aaron Donald, regardless of how healthy and how equipped they are, because it's just difficult to block Aaron Donald. So you got that coming up on Sunday Night Football on November the 7th. But even the Colts, like, you know, they did a good job, I thought, for the most part, against the Colts in the first game. Can you do that again on the road in what is going to be a massive game? Like, I still don't – it's difficult for me to see in the next two games the Titans winning against the Bills and the Chiefs and being 5-2 while the Colts are sitting there like 1-6 and the division race being over. Like, I don't anticipate that to be the case on Halloween.
No, I agree. And think about how different it might look if the Colts not just botched that last night. I mean, it could look a lot different by then. So that's a big outcome for the Titans last night in terms of the division. But no, I think it'll be tighter. I think it'll be tighter by then, and the Colts certainly will be primed to even things up and set up a race, you know, into November.
Yeah, but we'll see beginning tomorrow what the injury situation is starting to look like for the Titans. Remember, an extra day this week, so got the Monday Night Football matchup against the Bills coming up. Maybe that extra day can help some Titans players be ready and be available. This would be a nice game to have Julio Jones. I know, you know, you want him for the long haul, and I get all that, but it would sure be nice if your big acquisition on offense, and quite frankly, your big acquisition on defense as well, and Bud Dupree would be available for this game, because my guess is the way the Bills have played as of late, you're going to need all the help you can get in this one.
I would be more optimistic right now about Dupree than Julio, just because we just don't know. And I've, you know, Vrabel was asked, and we'll see Wednesday. So, you know, we'll see tomorrow when they're on the field. But Bud Dupree, the fact that he obviously got close last week. He was out there, yep, doing everything, and you know, then they ultimately decided not to go with him. But I've got to think he's awfully close. They also could get Amani Hooker back. That would be big.
Well, the loss that, especially in this matchup, and as you move into Kansas City as well, but, you know, obviously you've got Stephon Diggs staring you down on the other side this week. It'd sure be nice to have Christian Fulton out there, and I don't know that we're going to see Christian Fulton out there.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so based on just how gingerly he was walking. It just, that doesn't look like a comeback next week thing. Sometimes it is, but it doesn't look like it. So then the question is, okay, is Caleb Farley, is he ready? You figured, I mean, even going into the year, it's like, well, at some point someone's going to get hurt. You know, but Breon Borders is obviously there too, and Breon Borders has been a nice backup. I mean, he's been able to come in and do some good things. But, gosh, you sure would like to think that your first-round pick is starting to round into the form that would give him the opportunity to do that if needed.
Well, remember Caleb Farley earlier in the offseason with Chris Collinsworth said, you know, he's not scared going straight up with Tyreek Hill. So
he may get his chance.
He might get his chance, man.
Might not. I don't know. I don't know the status of Tyreek Hill, but he does have a knee right now.
He does. We'll see what happens on that front. By the way, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, MCL sprain. So that looked a lot worse than an MCL sprain the other night.
That's good. That's good to hear, because it looked bad.
Yep.
So, but that probably takes him out for the Titans game.
I would say so.
Yeah. So that's certainly a loss. That's now. I swear every back they put in there, just because of how that offense works, there's still like so much space.
Yeah.
You know, and the coverage drops. Everything's sunk. At, you know, trying to deal with Hill and Kelsey, and it's like, okay, here's 14 yards for Darrell Williams, whoever.
Yeah.
But still, Edwards-Helaire has been very good.
Well, and if you're the Titans defense, look, Buffalo is going to put up some points. I think we know that heading into this game. This is a game where this offense, they've got to get rolling. By the way, I blame Michelle Knezevic. Ever since she went on her diatribe against the Bills, they've been pretty good.
Yeah, right. True. We had that whole week of me just trashing the Bills.
Just getting all over them.
The Steelers beat them, and then they just...
turned into the best team in the league.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I have faith in our Titans.
It's probably good for you, you know, that like maybe a lot of like if Bills Mafia, if that went viral within Bills Mafia, they'd be all over you right now. Oh, you know?
Yes.
Like you'd have to like change your account name and stuff. Don't mess with them.
Yeah, I know. They're scary.
Here we are, less than a week away from Bills Mafia outside Nissan Stadium, jumping on an assortment of tables.
Guys,
be fun.
What a sight.
Hide
Can
your folding
you not
tables.
Wait to see all of them? Just in Nashville. Can't wait. Can't
Last wait. Time they were here, somebody knocked themselves out on the side of the hill, missing the table, hit the side of the concrete. It was good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
Surprised that doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, usually they're pretty good and accurate with their throwing their bodies on folding tables.
With fire on them.
Yeah. Wow.
How did this tradition start,
a
do you
flame.
Think? They said, you know what? We're just going to light this table on fire and dive on the table.
I mean, it's only, like, I only know of this for, like, probably, like, 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Is that true, or is it actually go back to, like, Jim Kelly days?
I don't know. I mean, look, it gets
OJ days.
You know this. I mean, it gets cold enough in Buffalo where you start to drink some of that liquid courage to stay warm. You can come up with some ideas, sure. I guess, out there in the parking lot.
Yeah, light yourself on fire. That
Sounds
will
smart,
get you warmer.
Right? Yeah. Really smart.
You will definitely be warmer. When we come back, we'll switch gears, get into the Nashville Predators. The opening night roster is set. What do we make of the lineup, and what does this mean for some young guys as they move forward here? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.